Well, this morning, we are in John chapter 17 for one more time before we officially start teaching-wise the Christmas season. So we're wrapping up this look at the high priestly prayer of Jesus. So if you have a Bible, would you open it up to John 17 and go to the last three verses? Verse 24 is where we're going to pick up. And if you're physically able and don't mind, would you stand with me as we give honor to God's word as I read it to you? John 17, verse 24, Jesus is still speaking, and this is how he ends his prayer. He says, "Father, I desire that they also who you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world, O righteous Father. The world has not known you, but I have known you, and those have known that you have sent me. And I have declared to them your name and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them." Father, as we finish up the look that we've been doing at this high priestly prayer, Jesus, that you prayed there in the upper room on the night before you were crucified. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of the lessons we've learned over the last 4 weeks and just drive it home in our hearts today, that we might be more like you by the time we've invested here this morning. And we pray that together. We pray for those that are being baptized after the service, that today would be such a sweet moment in their lives as we celebrate with them. And we pray this all together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As most of you know, what is considered the Lord's Prayer, that prayer in Matthew chapter 6, it's not really the Lord's Prayer at all. Because when Jesus prays, "Father, forgive our sins as we forgive those that sin against us," you know that's not what Jesus needed to pray, amen? It's not his prayer. It's him teaching the disciples to pray. We've gone over that. If you want a real example of Jesus praying, it's the text before us today. John chapter 17, where Jesus, at the end of his upper room discourse, John 13 through 17, Jesus in the upper room, he washes the disciples' feet. He institutes communion by taking two parts of the Jewish Passover and saying, "These elements are going to remind you of me once I'm crucified and rise again." He goes through and explains that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon them and empower them to know him for the rest of their days. He reminds them that all of you will forsake me. And when Peter says, "I never will," Jesus says, "Well, actually, bub, you'll do it three times before the rooster crows." He does all of these things. And at the very end of the night, he looks up his eyes to heaven, Jesus does, and he prays what John Knox first called the Holy of Holies of the New Testament. This prayer that John Knox loved so much, he had it read to him when he was sick with what would be his final illness. He just had it read to him day after day, and when he knew his time was short, he had his bride read it to him over and over and over and over again until he slipped into eternity. Preacher John Manton preached 45 sermons out of these 26 verses. Now, Pastor Rob and I have not done that. We have taken 5 weeks. And as we've looked at these 5 weeks, just a quick reminder, we saw Jesus pray for himself. We took a couple weeks and we looked at Jesus praying for the disciples. And then last week, Pastor Rob taught us how Jesus prays for future believers. And what did he pray? That we would be one. That there would be a unity in Jesus. And then finally this morning, we see the last part of the prayer, and that is Jesus praying for our destiny. As we look at this today, before we go into a time of baptism, there's really four things I would love for you to notice, whether you write them down If you're not a note taker, that's okay. Think them through, pray them in, get them into your heart and mind. But what do we see as Jesus prays for our destiny? We see that he prays that we would be with him, that we would behold his glory, that we would know him, and that we would experience his love. So let's look at those one at a time. Direct your attention back to verse 24 and look how Jesus finishes this prayer. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Precious church, the first thing Jesus prays for concerning us, concerning our destiny, is that we would be with him. And this has been something that's been on Jesus' heart that whole evening, all throughout the upper room discourse. You remember at the very start of the evening, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and notice this, and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The whole evening, Jesus was thinking. He was desiring that these 11 men that he had poured into, and then, of course, the future believers, you and me, that would come out of their ministry, his heart's desire is that they and us would be with him. It was his desire. The word that Jesus uses there in John 17, 24, translated into English as desire, I desire, is the Greek word telo, and it means a strong desire or will. It was Jesus' strong desire that our destiny would be in heaven with him one day. Jesus wants that so bad for every one of us. You know, sometimes in our Western world, this desire for heaven is not in our hearts what it was for so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the centuries. For many of us in our Western world, our world is good. At least the experience in it is good. We have so many creature comforts. We don't really understand the emotional level in which Jesus is asking for this. But some of you know. Some of you, as you walk through trials, some of you, as you have one family member after the other preceding you in heaven, you feel this. If some of you know our brother Vern, who goes to second service and on Wednesday nights, man, when you hear him talk about his desire for heaven, his desire to be with Jesus, his desire to be united with his wife again, you see his eyes well up with tears. And you just see the point of what Jesus is saying, the same word desire. You see it in Vern's face. I want you to picture that in Jesus' face as he says, I just want you to be where I am at. If you're having trouble getting there emotionally right now, I understand. It's hard to feel that deeply in heaven, especially when you're young, especially when things are going well. But I want to remind you, before we move on from point one, why we should feel this way. What is waiting for us in heaven? Even if your life right now is great, I remind you what is waiting for you in heaven. Number one, God is there. You remember what Jesus prayed in that disciples' prayer in Matthew 6? He said, our Father, who is where? Who's in heaven. God is there. God is waiting for you there in heaven. And not just God, but fellow believers, loved ones that we had such fellowship with here that have gone on before us. They are in heaven, and we will be reunited with them. Thirdly, your name is written there. Jesus told his disciples, didn't he? Don't rejoice that you have power over demons. Don't rejoice that you can do miracles. No, he said, rejoice that your name is written in heaven. That is something to get excited about. When you show up, it won't be like they lost your reservation. You understand that, right? Like, my name is Jim. And they're like, I don't see a Jim. No, your name is clearly written in heaven. Your citizenship is there. Your forever home is there. We go around this world and most of us love where we live. We're proud to be Americans. But something still feels like it's missing. And it is. Because your citizenship is in heaven. Your true forever home is in heaven. Your inheritance, your eternal reward is there. Maybe you come from a family where your parents and grandparents were broke. And so you're thinking, I don't even get a home someday when they go on to heaven. I got nothing to inherit. Oh, friend, what you have waiting for you in heaven, your sins are not waiting for you there, praise the Lord. But reward for every time you made the right call, every time you took the right path, the reward for that waiting for you in heaven, your holiness is there. Let's be honest. Most of us walk around and think, where did I put my holiness? Where did it go? Where did I put my good attitude? Where did I put my forgiveness? Where did I put that lifestyle that looks a lot like Jesus? Friends, every day we want to be growing in our likeness to Jesus, but perfect holiness is waiting for you in heaven. And even though all of those things I just mentioned are amazing, the most amazing thing waiting for you in heaven is Jesus himself. You see, what makes heaven so amazing is not pearly gates or streets of gold, but the fact that Jesus is there and we get to have perfect, intimate fellowship with him. The glory of Jesus, which was veiled at his incarnation, will be fully revealed in heaven. David said, in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Listen, what you're really looking for, what your heart is longing for, is not that perfect vacation. It's not that perfect relationship. It's not that perfect home on the hill. What you're really looking for is found in Jesus and friends. He is waiting for you in heaven. It's not hard to imagine why we want to be in heaven with Jesus. But what is staggering to me about this prayer is that his desire is to be with you. He wants you there with him. And I think it goes back to the fact that he's a father and we are lost in this world and he wants us home. Most of us do understand how wicked and destructive this world can be. But even if you don't see that yet, Jesus in heaven knows how horrific this world can be. And his desire is to soon take you out of it so you can be home with him. That's what he wants. That's what he desires. I heard a story one time about special forces in our United States, you know, Marines and Army. And when they were retired, a group of them decided to take all their skills and just use their skills to go find trafficked kids in other countries. And they, of course, use their skills. They had to be really quiet about it because if the cartels found out where, you know, someone was coming for them, they just moved the kids because some of them had taken those kids because their parents were super wealthy. And so they were hoping to get $1 million reward and others were taken for even worse purposes. But either way, the cartels were hoping to make money. So they had to be very silent and they would go in. And I remember someone asking them, do you make a lot of money doing this? I mean, you already got your pension. So the parents, you know, they're being, you know, extorted for $1 million. Do they give you $500,000 when you bring your kid home? How much money do you make? And the guys just said, we don't make anything. Our reward is to call up those parents and say, we found your son. We found your daughter. And we're on our way back. And when I would pull up to that parking lot, they said, and that van would open up and that door would slide open, and those parents would come and embrace their kids, those guys said, that is all the payment we would ever need. And I share with you that story because I was thinking about that story I heard a while back in reference to what Jesus is saying. I desire, I want to be with you. I want to throw my arms around you when you step into eternity and welcome you home. And the fact that Jesus wants you home, the fact it's a strong desire of Jesus, church, it's a guarantee it's going to happen. You know, I've been an assistant pastor here at Vista for the better part on and off for 12 years. And here's something I know. When Pastor Rob has a heart to see something happen, it's going to happen. Us youth guys, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. One of the assistant pastors wants a special Sunday night service, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But if Pastor Rob has a heart for it, as long as what he wants isn't crazy, I mean, it's never crazy, but I'm just saying, I don't want you to think that I think that when I become the pastor, I can just do whatever I want because that's what I learned from my pastor. No. His ideas were never crazy and mine often are. So that's why we've got a great elder board that'll shut those things down. But if what Pastor Rob wanted to do was sane, which it always was, guess what? It happened. It happened. And I want you to have that picture because the enemy will come and say to you, are you even really going to make it to heaven? The enemy says, look, I know you and you know you. Do you think that's ever going to happen? And we start to doubt and wonder because of the lies of the enemy. We'll hear the truth this morning, church. Jesus, the King of glory in heaven, wants you in heaven with him. He died to pay your way there. His desire is to be with you. Guess where you are going for sure one day. What is your destiny? It is heaven with Jesus. That is your destiny. Jesus prays that we would be with him. Secondly, write it down, think it through, pray it in. He prays that we might behold his glory. The second part of verse 24, he says, behold, or that they may behold my glory, which you have given to me. For you have loved me before the foundation of the world. Church, not only is our destiny, our future in heaven with Jesus, but one of the best things about that fact, Jesus says, is we get to behold his glory. The Bible says right now we see through a glass dimly. Paul told the Corinthians, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Right now, you and I walk through this life through a glass dimly, but someday when we see Jesus in heaven, we see him in all of his glory, what a day that's going to be. The disciples who walked the earth with Jesus, who ate with Jesus, who watched him do things, they, most of them really didn't get to see the fullness of who he was. They saw glimpses when he healed, when he did miracles, obviously when he died and then rose again. But those were just glimpses. It was only Peter, James, and John that were on that Mount of Transfiguration who truly got to see the glory of Jesus as he was transfigured in front of them. And you remember good old Peter, don't you? He sees that and he says, oh, it's good for us to be here. And us pastors, we love to make fun of Peter. But I really hope there's not a camera when I see Jesus for the first time. Because I imagine, oh, it's good that I'm here, is probably way less embarrassing than what I'm going to do. It's going to be like, oh, I am glad there won't be a record of that for people for the next 2,000 years to say, and Jason again as he steps into eternity. So anyways, I apologize, you know, to Peter. But again, I say all this to remind you that not only is your destiny in heaven with Jesus, but you will see him in all of his glory. Again, Paul reminds the Corinthians, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all, with unveiled face, behold as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You that are bound by so many things in this life that you just want freedom from, those things that get you discouraged by your failures, how much unlike Jesus you are by the way you act and treat people, I remind you, your future, your destiny is in heaven with Jesus. And when you see him in his glory, you will truly be set free from all those things that hold you down. For the first time in your life, you will truly be like Jesus. What a destiny we have. We're going to be with him. We're going to behold his glory. Thirdly, write it down, pray it and think it through. Jesus prays that we might know him. Our destiny is that we might know him. Look at verse 25. He says, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these that have known that you have sent me, and I have declared it to them, your name, and will declare it. Jesus prays that we would be with him in heaven. He prays that we would behold his glory. And then next, Jesus prays our destiny would be to know him. In fact, three times in verse 25, Jesus uses the word know, which most of you know in Greek is the Greek word gnosko. It means to know by experience. Jesus says to his Father, the world has not known you. I have known you. And these have known that you have sent me. Three times in one verse, Jesus uses this word know. But then in verse 26, he goes on to say, I have declared to them your name. And that word translated into English is declared in verse 26 is also the Greek word gnosko. It's just in a different tense. It's in past tense, meaning Jesus is saying, I have, past tense, I have declared to them your name. Jesus did that in the way he lived, in the things he said. He was always letting the world know what God the Father was truly like, lived out incarnate in Jesus. But then Jesus in verse 26 moves from the past tense, early in verse 26, I have declared to them, past tense, to next he says, listen, I will declare it. Again, the Greek word gnosko, but now it's in the future tense. Now it's our destiny. Jesus says, I have declared who you are in the past, but for all of eternity, their destiny is I will declare to them forever who you are. This is so important for us to note, because what Jesus is saying is our destiny is not just a place, it's an image. Our destiny is not just a place, it's an image. We are continually being transformed into his image. And that process will continue into eternity because he, God, is infinite. And of course, we are not. So we will be conforming into his image continually for all of eternity. Every day in heaven will be new and fresh revelation of God. Do you understand how cool that is? In other words, you won't get up in heaven one day and say, I'm bored. How long is this going to last? Are we going to sing that song again? Can't we write new songs? None of you are going to say, like, can I just paint my mansion today? I'm tired of the same color. I just want a different color. I know that won't be your heart, because every day your experience for your destiny will be to be enamored anew and afresh with the things you are continually hearing and learning and discovering about our God. Jesus says, this is your future, that you would be with me, that you would behold my glory, that you would know me. And then last one today, that we would experience his love. Look at the last part of verse 26. It says, and the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Oh, friends, our destiny. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord. I guarantee it. You know the Lord. You're going to be with him someday. You're going to see his glory. You're going to know him, be conformed into his image. And then you're going to experience his love. Jesus says the same love that which God the Father loved the Son is the same love they, can I use it that way? I know they're one, but the Trinity has toward you. That's crazy when you think of it. That is crazy. Because I believe God loves me, but I often think it's kind of a tolerating love. Kind of like the love I have for my daughter's cat. I love my daughter's cat because I love my daughter. And when the three of us are in the room and she says, isn't she beautiful? I say, you're both so beautiful. But when it's just the cat and I, and I walk by, I say, hey, and the cat's like, in fact, you'll love this. So when we were moving into our apartment we now live in, they threw on me that besides the exorbitant rent that everybody pays in this part of the world, it was $100 per animal rent. That's $200 per month for my two animals, my dog and my daughter's cat. Now, some of you are like, that's not that bad. But listen, when I first rented an apartment in the year 2000 in this area, my entire rent for my wife and I was $600 a month. I'm getting close with my animal rent. And so I'm just like I did with you. I'm just venting in the front office, like $200 for the every month, $2,400 a year for the cat and dog. And the lady in the front office says, oh, you can get out of that. Well, do tell. She says, just apply for them to be emotionally support animals and corporate will just write it off. And I said, well, they're not. Neither of them. I emotionally support them. It's not the other way around. And she says, it doesn't matter. Just apply. It'll cost you $100 to apply and you'll save $2,400 a year. Well, I love saving money. So I said, amen. I did it. They both qualified. Now that's fine. That was a math decision that you can criticize the morality of it later. You can do that. I receive it because I probably deserve it. But here's the worst part. Here's where the Lord allowed me to kind of walk in it a little bit. Another lady from the front office called me and said, okay, your animals are approved, but now you got to fill out a form for them. And I was like, well, I already did that. And I go down and here's this form in front of me. And it says, your cat, Moonlight, how does she emotionally support you? And it's got some lines for me to write some information. And I'm like, can I leave this blank? Nope. Oh. Well, when she purrs, I feel really good. So humiliating because the cat does not emotionally support me. I love the cat because I love my daughter. And sometimes that's how I picture God loves me. Oh, my son loves you, Jason. So that's why I love you, because my son loves you. But Jason and I, we're not that close. But that is not what we see in the text. That is not our destiny. Our destiny is not just to be in heaven with God and see his glory and learn about him and who he is every single day. Our destiny is to be continually loved by him with the same love that God the Father has for God the Son, now lavished upon you and me every day into eternity. Oh, church, how blessed are we that that's our future, that that's our destiny. It's kind of like Paul the Apostle summed up these truths in what he said to the Ephesians. He said, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Wow. God showed you and me great grace. Great grace, past tense, when he saved us out of our transgression and sins. And yet the truth is, the end of Jesus' prayer in John 17, that same grace will continue to be showered on us for all of eternity. That's our destiny, in heaven with Jesus, seeing his glory, experiencing all that he is, loved by him. You see, the reality is, friends, you and I have two addresses. We got one in North County, San Diego, I assume. I live in LA. Good for you. Thanks for driving today. We have two addresses, one in North County, San Diego, and I'm thankful for that. I love this place. But we have another address in heaven. One address in North County, one address in heaven. And honestly, all of my problems are associated with the North County address. And that's not because I don't love it. I do. Just everything I experience that's trouble has nothing to do with heaven. It has everything to do with here. It's true for me. It's true for you. This world, this life can be so cold. At times we feel so abused and hurt and used, and we want to get out of this place. And as we saw a few weeks ago, Jesus prays that God would not take us out. We have a job to do, a mission to be on with him. But once that mission is done, God wants to get you out of this place as quick as possible so you can be with him. Every saint that dies is an answer to this prayer of Jesus. That's what David said, didn't he? When he said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God has a plan for us in this life, in this world. But as your Father in heaven, he knows how cruel this world can be. And so Jesus prays that he wants you to know your destiny is in heaven with him. Your destiny is to see his glory. Your destiny is to know him and have his love lavished upon you. That's our destiny. That's our future. That is what Jesus is praying will happen soon to every one of us. Amen.